Okay, today's daf is daf Ayin Dalet, Maseches Ksubis. We are on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 lines from the bottom on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, the last word of the line, Eisve. Just one ha'arif of yesterday. So the we asked about Rashi and Rachel and Leah and Yaakov. So how is Yaakov really married to Leah? Wasn't it all Mekatos? So he married the wrong woman. So why didn't he just say the marriage wasn't binding? So the Shari Aaron deals with it a little bit. And he quotes some of the, I'm not sure where he's quoting from, but he's talking about the early, some Rishonim would say, it must be, again, you have to give this kind of answer, it must be that he knew Lavan was a Ramai, and because he knew he was a Ramai, he kind of had Stamdas, that whoever he would get you, Kedushim L'Shem Rachel, Vim Yachel, Rachel Aleah, Yil L'Shem Leah, Kedushim L'Shem Leah, Kedushim L'Shem Leah, Nus. He talks about it a little bit. But again, Rashi's yesterday seemed to specifically say it's not enough, our Rashi. Either way, he talks about it a little bit. Yeah.
The fact that Rashi uses the same name.
Right, it's amazing. Rashi uses the same names, the opposite case.
He's trying to show you that it's different.
He's trying to say that it's different.
No, he doesn't say why it's different.
Right, he doesn't say why. He uses the same exact names in the opposite story, saying that it doesn't work. See, right, he's obviously emphasizing that, I mean, generally, I think he uses Rachel and Leah. In other cases of examples, look at the beginning of Yevamos. Look at
yeah,
that. But specifically here, right, Rashi, I don't know if he knew that in this stuff, Yomi cycle would get to this, Parshas Vayetzei, but either way, it's, I think you're right. I think Rashi is specifically saying something is different. We have to figure out exactly why. It's not just Tam and Umdana that he knew Lavan was a trickster. Okay, Eisve, 6 lines from the bottom. Another kasha. Who? He had a machlokas yesterday between Rav and Shmuel, whether kiddush al tnai v'kansastam, if you get do kiddushin with a condition, and you're koni stam without reiterating the condition, what is the halacha? So that was a machlokas between Rav. Rav says that mistama he said he didn't want to make his via bilas nus, and therefore we could say that. A get is required because it is a marriage. And Shmuel says no, ain't so a get mishena. You don't need a get because we assume that he was still had in mind the original condition. So about that machlokas, Rabba said yesterday describing that machlokas. The machlokas is only about isha echad ke'ein shtei nashim, something that there was a break in the middle, whether you got divorced in between or whether it's about two women, but by isha achas in a regular case of Kidesh al Tanai, because of Stam, Rabbah said that everybody would agree that ain't sarich get, like Shmuel said, ain't sarich ha'emen or get. So that was Rabbah's statement, so we're in the middle of asking 3 questions on Rabbah's interpretation of that machlokas. We asked 2 out of 3 already, we're up to number 3. So Eisve, again, 6 lines from the bottom, Akasha on Rabbah. Eisvei, modim chachamim l'Rabbi Eliezer. The chachamim agree to Rabbi Eliezer. Which chachamim, which Rabbi Eliezer? So we have to remember a Mishnah in Maseches Yevamos. Maseches Yevamos, we had a machlokas between chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. The chachamim say, if a man gets divorced, and then he retakes his wife in marriage, and then he dies. So does his brother do, and he dies without kids. So does his brother do yibam in that case? So the chachamim say, yeah. Chachamim say that if when he died, he was married, and now he didn't have kids, his brother could do Yibam. Rabbi Eliezer says no. Rabbi Eliezer says that if a man divorced his wife, even though he got remarried, and then he dies without children, his brother does not do Yibam. Why not? So there were different opinions in the Gemara there. One opinion was because there was Shah Achas Be'isser, he can't do Yibam. But Lamaskana in that Gemara, and that's what our Gemara is assuming, that it's a Gzeira Durabanan. Rabbi Eliezer says if a man remarries his wife and then dies, we do not allow the brother to do Yibum, even though Maker did it should be okay, because we're gozer unto a case of Yisoma v'chaye ha'av. What's that case? The Gemara is going to quote that case right here. Because in that case, everybody's going to agree that Yibum can't take place. But the question of Rabbi Eliezer is, gozer mishum that case. But what is that case? Modim v'chachamim v'Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim agreed to Rabbi Eliezer that we will not allow Yibum in the following case. Biktana shehisiyah aviha, a ketana whose father married her, meaning the Oraisa marriage, Vinnis Garsha, and then she gets divorced. So she is divorced, mi Oraisa. The he is Soma Bechai Ha'av, and now she's what's called an orphan in the life of her father. Her father's still alive, but she is totally out of the Rishus of her father, because divorce took place. And then the Hechzira, and now the husband took her back, but she's a Ketana. So how did the husband take her back? It must be on a rabbinic level, on a Drabbanan level. So in that case, choletzes b'lobes yabebes. So in that case, the Rabbana would admit that we don't allow Yibam and we make them do chalitza. Why? The gerushin is daraisa from his daraisa marriage. But taking her back is only midrabanan. So this brother who wants to do Yibam now is looking at this woman who midaraisa is grushas achiv. Grushas achiv. And midrabanan, not midrabanan, maybe he's married again, but midaraisa grushas achiv. So we're not going to allow a Yibam in that case. So that's a case that even the Rabbanan agreed that we will not allow Yibam. It's just that Rabbi Eliezer is goes there all cases up to that case. So we don't get confused with that case. So he says you can never do Yibam. That's what the Gemara expands on now. When do we say that this is true? That everybody agrees that we would only allow Chalitza if the divorce took place when she was a Ktana and he took her back when she was a Ktana. Because then the new marriage is only rabbinic, is only Drabanan, and therefore we will not allow Yibam. But what if the divorce took place when she was a Ktana? Fine, so she's divorced midaraisa. And now he took her back when she was a Gdola. So that's a daraisa marriage now. Oshech zirik shiktana, or he took her back when she was a ktana. Vigadla etzlo. That's the one that's key for us now. And after he took her back when she was a ktana, but they stayed living together even after she was a gdola, and they lived together after she was a gdola. Vameis, and then he dies. And then ochel etzlo b'siyabemes. Then the rabbanan would say, no, he can do yibam if he wants. Why? Because this marriage is now daraisa. This is eishes ach. This isn't just grushas ach can be daraisa. Even the marriage is daraisa. Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Amru Chalasas Lobis Yabemes. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, even in that case, we only allow Chalitza. Why? As we explained, Rabbi Eliezer is Gozer, all these cases, up to the case where it is Me'ikar Adina problem, the case of Yisoma B'chai Ha'af. Okay, that is the end of that quote. So now we ask the question. V'ha-ha-ha, in the case, which case are we focusing on? The case where he took her back when she was a Ktana, and then Nizgadel Etzlo. So, as we discussed yesterday, so does the person have in mind to do a new, like, B.L.S.A. marriage? Or is his mind totally always focused on the earlier state? That, like we said, the Tanai from earlier, the earlier state. So we see here, there's a machlokas about it. So we said yesterday that Rabba says that if we're only talking about one woman and there's a previous issue that came up, there's a no machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, because even Rav would agree that he always has in mind the earlier issue. So if he had made a tanai earlier, he always has the tanai in mind, and therefore the marriage would not be a good marriage. Here too, so we should say according to Rabba that he always has in mind that ein maisa ketana klum. Everybody knows that what a ketana does is meaningless. Therefore, he's bal l'shem gedola l'shem nisuin. And yet we see here there's a machlokas. There's a machlokas tanoim in this case, which is a case like tos isha achas. So it's a kasha on Rabba. Third and final kasha on Rabba. And again, the Gemara says, the same way the Gemara answered yesterday, no, this is a very specific, limited machlokas. This isn't a general machlokas about, like Rav and Shmuel have, so don't ask me kashas. Hazanai b'hakim mefukin. There's a specific machlokas here. Mar savar adam yodeyash enki dushek tana klum. The one opinion holds that everybody knows that Maisa Kedushik Tan is nothing. V'gamar Baal L'shem Kedushin. And therefore it must be that when she's in the scandal at Slow, he has in mind L'shem Kedushin. That is the first opinion, and therefore he could even do Yibam, because now he's married to my brother. Umar Sava, the other opinion, Rabbi Lezer says, no, Ein Adam Yodei Hashem Kedushik Tan Aklum. Not everybody knows that. V'chi Kabbalah, Daiti the Kedushin Rishonim Kabbal. It's a specific issue within Kedushay Ktana, what a person has in mind. Period, but don't ask me any kashas from Rabba. Good. End of that discussion of Rabba and Rav and Shmuel. New related discussion, but a new piece. Itmar Nami. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan. Hamakadish al tnai uba'al, divri hakol einet zrichei menoget. Man gets does kiddushin on a condition. Right, he's a makadish al tnai. And then he has bia and he doesn't say anything. So everybody says no get is required because we assume that his bia had the tnai in mind, and therefore if the tnai was not fulfilled, so then we assume that it is not a marriage. Eisvei, so now we ask a kasha on that. It's similar to what we discussed yesterday, but this is going to be, as you'll see, a separate sugya. Mekadesh al tnai al baal, no get is needed because we assume he had in mind the original tnai. So Eisei Rav Acha Breider of Ika, Bar Achsei, so Rav Acha Breider of Ika, the son of the sister of the previous talker, right? The son of the sister of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So he says, how could you say that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? I have another statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and you'll see it doesn't work. what we had in Maseches Yevamos. Chalitza mut'eis kishera. If you have a mistaken chalitza, it's still okay, it's kosher. A mistaken chalitza works. So what is a mistaken chalitza? Ve'ezu hi chalitza mut'eis. What is a mistaken chalitza? Amar Reish Lakish. Machlokas. It's Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What is a mistaken chalitza that works? So Reish Lakish says, Ezu chalitza mut'eis, Amar Reish Lakish, kol sha'omer lo chalotzla u'bakachat akonsa. Let's say Bezdin wants this guy to do chalitza, but he's not doing it for various reasons. But we want him to do chalitza so this woman could go free. So let's say Bezdin tells him, you know what? Do chalitza. That's how you marry her. So that's a chalitza mutes. And you know what? Says Reish Lakish, that's kosher. That's kosher. Chalitza mutes is kosher. We could trick him. We could trick him and he could have the wrong kavana. Amr, Rabbi Yochanan says, nah, can't be. Ani shoneh, says Rabbi Yochanan, Beinchen is kavin hu velon is kavin hi. Whether he had kavana and not her. Beinchen is kavin hi velon is kavin hu. Or whether she had kavana and not him. Chalitza sa psula, it's apostle chalitza. Achi is kavnu shneim. They both have to have correct kavana, says Rabbi Yochanan. So your pshat of chalitza mutis, that can't work. V'yat amr chalitza sakshera. You say, if Bezin says to the guy, you know, do chalitza, and in that way you marry her. That doesn't work, says Rabbi Yochanan. That can't be the pshat of the statement chalitza mutis kshera. Says Rabbi Yochanan, I'm going to give a different pshat, because that's wrong. We're going to get back to what the kavana is, but let's just finish the line first. Ela amr Rabbi Yochanan, this is what is meant by chalitza mutis kshera. Kol sha'omer lo chalotzla amanasha titin lakbasayim zuz. We say to him, you know what? Do chalitza and we'll give you, and she'll give you $200. She'll pay you. Do chalitza on condition that she'll give you 200 zuz. And you know what? She'll never give it. Says Rabbi Yochanan, that's the case, that even though it was al tnai, still, she does not have to fulfill the tnai in order for the chalitza to be kosher. That's the statement of chalitza mutes kshera. So what does that have to do with us? Alma, what do you see from that statement? In Rabbi Yochanan, right? We just mentioned the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan before. What does Rabbi Yochanan seem to say? If a person makes a tnai on the chalitza, and then performs the chalitza, it's a good chalitza. Why should that be? So the havamina is, Alma, kivan da'avin maisa achuli achli l'tnai. If a person makes a condition, and then later on goes through the action, it must be that he's forgetting about the condition earlier. He said he did the action without stipulating anything at the moment of the action. So therefore, it must be, that's what Rabbi Yochanan always holds. If a person makes a tnai at stage one, and at stage two he just goes through with the act without reiterating the condition, it must be his mochel on the earlier condition. So too here, when a person is makadesh al tnai, and then just has a maisa bia without saying a word, it must be kiva debala chuli achli l'tnai. Isn't that because he is mochel on the original tnai? So this is a kasha on the original statement. Because the original statement on line 7, we had the statement that Rabbi Yochanan says, a makadesh al tnai abal, it doesn't work, because he had the tnai in mind. But what do you mean? The case of chalitza, we see, he does not have the tnai in mind. That's the kasha. Okay, so we'll come back to that in a minute, but first let's go back to talk about kavana. Yeah?
In the second case, the tnai was told to him.
In the second case, he agreed to the tanai. You're right. There's a difference between who the oranges of the tanai, but I don't think the Gemara assuming that it doesn't make a difference because he's agreeing to it. He's agreeing to the tanai at stage one. Doesn't matter if he came up with it or not. What kavana are we talking about? Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't matter if either only one of them has kavana. They both have to have kavana. What kavana are we talking about? Well, kavana by chalitza. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to have kavana by chalitza. Both of them have to have kavana. So the Chacham Tzvi in Siman Aleph. Simon Aleph and the Chacham Tzvi, or Tzvi Eskenazi, has the question, what type of kavana are we talking about? We mentioned this Chacham Tzvi back in Yevamos, I think, a few times, because this is the Chacham Tzvi that discusses whether chalitza is a mitzvah or a matir. Now, let's say a woman is 98 years old, and she has no intention of getting remarried. Should she still go through the chalitza process? She's 98 years old, there's no way she's getting remarried. Or the brother, or so. So is there any reason to do chalitza? So he has that discussion, and he ends up saying it's a matir. And therefore, there is no reason to do chalitza. It brings a number of rayas, lakana, lakan. He quotes that it's a matir and not so much a mitzvah. And therefore, if you have no intention of doing it, we won't be co-found this mitzvah. Right? Won't be co-found. We don't want her to remain in aguna. That's what we would force. But we would only say that when do you force somebody to do a mitzvah? When he has to do it. And therefore there wouldn't be an issue with just allowing them. That's the main part of the tshuva. But earlier he discusses our Gemara. says you have to figure this out, says the Chacham Tzvi. Ihach kavana de be'inan b'chalitza. What kavana is meant by this Gemara? That you have to have kavana b'chalitza. Hainu mitam de mitzvah hi. Is it because that it is somewhat of a mitzvah, which is the skugia that he's discussing? Uke'ein kavana za mitzvah. De paskin rov poskin de mitzvah srichas kavana. It's like any mitzvah. We paskin lachachila at least that mitzvah srichas kavana. We paskin even b'di'evet that da'oraisa, by mitzvah da'oraisa mitzvah srichas kavana and da'rabana mitzvah ein srichas kavana. The Radva says that in the Noseh Kalim in Arachayim. So when we say kavana here, does that mean kavanas mitzvah or okein kavanas hahakna'os? The be'inon das kone o makne? Or is it kavanas kinyan? You have to have a kavana to have a kinyan, to be makna her to the olam by chalitza. And you know what a nafkamina would be? Do you have to have the kavana at the moment that you're doing the chalitza? Im kavana amurakanu al derech kavanas mitzvos vali tzricha shetiyeh b'shas ma'is amamish lahatira. But if the kavana is only derech kinyan, so maybe you could say that as long as he knows what he's doing, he doesn't even have to have the kavana right then. He could have it right afterwards or right beforehand. But dvarim shebelev einim dvarim when it comes to kinyanim. So either that is his discussion, and he lomaskana ends up thinking that it's kavanas kinyan. You have to have kavanas kinyan they have to have in mind that this act is going to allow her to be mutter to marry anybody else. But lav davka that you need kavana for the mitzvah. That is the Chacham Tzvi's shita. The Menachas Chinuch in the mitzvah of Chalitza in Tav Kuf Tzadik Tes quotes this Chacham Tzvi, and he has an interesting suggestion where he says, "You're right, kavanas kinyan is needed by both, but I think also," says the Menachas Chinuch, "that the yavam needs kavanas mitzvah because it's a mitzvah on the yavam. The yavama does not need kavanas mitzvah. All she needs is the kavanas kinyan, like the Chacham Tzvi said. But the Menachas Chinuch adds that he thinks we call makom tzorach lechavin lasis yeh mitzvah ki mitzvahs asay v'yikachol mitzvahs ubekavanas zu lasis yeh mitzvah ain tzorach rak acholitz to bekayim a mitzvah avalohi da mitzvah al zacharim. That's what he says. Even if you didn't have the kavana, the mitzvah the kinyan would still work. But he says you wouldn't be bekayim the mitzvah because mitzvah srichas kavana. So the kinyan would work, but you would not be mekayim the mitzvah, and that's what he says, that at least he would have to have the added kavana l'shem mitzvah, even if she does not require it. Okay. Either way, that just came up in the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that they both need kavana by chalitza. So back to the Gemara's question. What was the Gemara's question? Rabbi Yochanan seems to be a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan first is quoted as saying, if a man does kiddushin with a condition and then just does the ma'isa bia without saying a word, so we say they're not married. Because we assume he has the condition that he only mentioned at stage one, he still has that in mind at stage two. Yet, in the other case, by the chalitza case, it seems to be the opposite. He has a condition at stage one, I do the chalitza on condition that she's going to pay you $200, and then later on he just does the chalitza without saying a word, they always say the chalitza works. So, seems to be he was mochel on the condition. So isn't that a stira? So now we're back to the Gemara's answer, right in the middle of the Amud. Omar le bar be rav, shaper kamrit. Is that a good question? No. You're mistaken. The reason by the chalitza case is not because he was mochel the tnai from stage one. There's a much more fundamental issue going on here by chalitza. Michdi, let's read this line. It's a very crucial line. Michdi, kol tnai mehecha gamrinan. What is the source of all tnaim? Right, what is the source of all tnaim? I think I was in Eretz Yisrael for this, or I missed it. It was Shabbos. Nun Vav. We had Tosfos back on Nun Vav. It was a Shabbos. That where Tosfos says that misvara, you should say tnai doesn't work. How do you make a tnai? You're getting married on condition that it snows. Why should what I say have anything to do with what I did? How could a dibur be mevatel maisa? Tosfos says there on Nun Vav that all tnaim are chiddush. It's a chiddush. You need a source for it. So what's the source for the concept that you can make a condition on something? Mehecha gamrina mitzvah b'nei gadah b'nei ruvein. You learn it from the conditions of b'nei gadah b'nei ruvein, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu made tanai that if you go into Eretz Yisrael and help us fight, then you can have your land, the neighbor Ayardin. If you don't go into Eretz Yisrael, then you won't have your land. So that's the makor of all tanaim, the end of Sefer Bamidbar. So says the Gemara, tana, so therefore you have to parallel it based on those tanaim. Tana de'efshel l'kiyumei ayde shliya kihasam, any condition that is about an action that you could have done that action through a shliach, have a tnai. So then that's a good condition. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was manchil Eretz Yisrael through Yeshua. Yeshua did it for him. Rashi goes, Yeshua was his shliach. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu could also make a condition on the Nachla of Eretz Yisrael. If he can make a shliach to do it, he can make a tznai to do it. That's the yisod of the Gemara. Tznaa delo eshla kimei adei shliach ki hasam, lo abi shliach. But if you cannot do that action through a shliach, you could also not make a tznai for that action. And therefore, chalitza. You know why this chalitza is a good chalitza? Not because he was mocha on the earlier tznai, but you know why? Because you can't make a tznai on chalitza. You can't make a shliach, oh, you do the chalitza for me. No! Chalitza is a davar shebegufo. You can make a tznai, you can make a shliach for marriage, so you can make a tznai for marriage. You can make a shliach for chalitza, and therefore you cannot make a tznai for chalitza. So it's a much more fundamental issue here about chalitza, not an issue of what do you have in mind from earlier. No, Rabbi Yochanan could say, if you get married, kiddushin al tznai, and katsa, and boal stam, so then he still has the kiddushin in mind. But by chalitza, you know why it's a chalitza kshera? Because the tznai that they made was all a trick. You can't make a tznai on something that you cannot make a shliach for. That is the yesod of the Gemara. Let's just finish up, and then we have a lot to talk about. What about kiddushin bia? Right, we know you can do kiddushin three ways, kesef, shtar, and bia. You cannot make a shliach for kiddushin bia. You know, you do the kiddushin for me. You can't do that. And yet, you can make a tznai on that kiddushin. You can make a tznai on kiddushin bia. Right, so doesn't that break the connection? We said tznai and shlichus always go together. So Gemara says, no, that's an exception. Why? No, because since two out of three darke kiddushin work, right, kesef and shtar, you can make a shliach, and therefore you can make a tznai. So too, we throw in bia, because all the darke kiddushin are compared to each other. Kesef, shtar, and bia are also compared to each other, and even though maker adin, it does not work by this one, still we compare bia to kesef and shtar, and allow a tznai to be made by kiddushin bia. The Ritva just has the small ha'ara. If they're all compared, so why don't you compare kesef and shtar to bia? Why do you compare bia to kesef and shtar? Why don't you say, just like bia cannot be done through a shliach, and therefore you cannot make a tznai, so too kesef and shtar. You know, even though you could do it through a shliach, you should not be able to make a tznai. So what does the Ritva say? The Ritva says, it's better to compare 1 to 2 than 2 to 1. You know, if you have 2 out of 3, that works, so compare 1 to the 2. But if you have 1, that you're not going to compare 2 to the 1. The 2 out of 3, that would be the rove. And the other small point before we get to the larger discussion is a line in the Shidduch Mekubetzes. Shidduch Mekubetzes says, what did we just say? Iskash Havayis Lahadadi. And therefore, you compare all the Darkei Kiddushin together. We have another Gzeirah Shava called Hekish Havaya Liyitziya. You compare Gerushin and Kiddushin. That's also a, just like we compare all the Darkei Kiddushin together, we compare Gerushin and Kiddushin. It's the Shidduch Mekubetzes. So why don't we say, just like Bia really doesn't work, but because of the Hekish it's going to work, so why don't we say chalitza you can have a tznai on? Why? Because isn't, this is the Lashon of the Shita, isn't chalitza an example of a yitzia? Iskish havaya liyitzia? And we should say, just like by kiddushin you can make tznaim, so too by ways that you end marriages. Gershon and chalitza you should be able to make a tznai. So why is it that we agree and we assume that you can't make a tznai by chalitza, just like all the dark and kiddushin are compared, so why don't you say in a kiddushin are compared, and therefore you should be able to make a tznai by chalitza. Isn't chalitza one of the yitzios? Ishkas havaya liyitzia? So he has a very important line in terms of how do you look at chalitza. Says the Shidduch Mekubetzes, quoting Rashi in the Madur Kama, the afal gab the ishkas yitzia la havaya, chalitza lav yitzia ikri. Chalitza is not called a yitzia. But Lord, Dainina lay, you know, you don't say it's ishkas havaya liyitzia. Gerushin is a yitzia from kiddushin. Chalitza is not. What exactly does that mean? Right, the first Mishnah in Kiddushin discusses chalitza. She's mat, right? She's free. Yeah.
No, but chalitza was only a zika. She was never actually married.
Oh, it was only a zika. He was never actually married to him. So that's a loaded statement. The loaded statement. Meaning we discussed. You know, is the zika an extension, a hemshich of the previous marriage, or is it something totally new? If it's a hemshich of the previous marriage, you really might say chalitza is what kicks in. It is a yitzia, but you're right. That line seems to be saying, no, it's something independent. It's not a yitzia. Maybe it's a mitzvah. Maybe it relates to the mitzvah matir. It's a mitzvah. It's a separate independent mitzvah. Either way, that's a very important line from the Shidduch Mekubetzes. Good. That is, so what did the Gemara say? Let's go back to the sort of the Gemara. The Gemara says, don't ask me kashas from chalitza. Chalitza is not that he forwent the tznai, but you cannot make a tznai on chalitza. So there is a, I think we mentioned this 1 or 2 times back in Maseches Yevamos, a very important, big discussion of Rabbi Chanan in the Kovetz Haaretz. Based on Rabbi Chaim, really, in Simen Ayin Vav in Kovetz Haaretz, where Rabbi Chanan says there are two types of actions that a person could do. Two types of actions that achieve a certain result. Actually, before the Rabbi Chanan, I forgot. Sorry, go to Tosas for a second. Tosfos asks in the second Tosfos, what does the Gemara say? If you can make a shliach on an action, you can make a tzayin on an action. And if you can't, you can't. So Tosfos, is there any svar behind that? Is that just totally arbitrary? Is there any connection between a tzai and a shliach? The Gemara does not say a svara. It says Tosfos. V'im Torah, ma svara yeshkan. That's what Tosfos says. What's the svara behind this, says Tosfos? To look at me, you're comparing it to B'negot B'nei Ruvain, shlichus? So why don't you say that was only by karka? So you can only make a shliach and a tzai by karka. You don't say that. So says Tosfos, no, there's a svara here. What's the svara of Yeshlomar? Very important. This is one of the most important makaros in all of shlichus and tzai and all those sugyas, right here. The Yeshlomar, fourth skinny line. Tahainu taima, this is the svara for the connection between a shliach and a tzai. The fact that you can make a shliach on something reflects that you're the bailim on that maisa. Reflects that you're in control of that maisa. Therefore, you could also make a tnai on it. Tnai and shlichus are both reflections of bailus. You can only make a shliach if you're the bailam on a certain area. You can only make a shliach a tnai. Avol chalitza, she'ein biyado l'kayim adei shliach. But chalitza, you can't do it through a shliach. You know what that means? Chalitza somehow happens by itself. You have to do the action, but you're not the creator. You're not the bailam on this. So lavi biyado nami l'merim beitzna. Therefore, you can't even make a tnai on it. That's the yisod of Tosfos. Shlichus and tnai are both based on bailus. And Rabbi Chanan expands on this at great length in Siman Ayin Vav. You can just read a page and a half. If you never saw this, it's a must read. Siman Ayin Vav. He says all things that a person does, there can be split up into two categories. Hecha dechalos hadin nasa mikoach adam, where you do an action and you create a chalos. You get married. You get divorced. Kiddushin, gerushin, kinyanim. Any kinyan that you do, you buy something, you sell something, you are the creator, you are the bailam. Or there's a second category of events, where you have to do a physical act, but once you do the physical act, the effect happens by itself. You are not creating, you are not the bailam of that event. For example, shechita, shechting. So you are creating a kosher animal. So you are the creator? No. You do the act of shechita, and the Mela Hashem says it's kosher. It's not that you, it's like you got married, you created the marriage, you create the chalos. No, shechita is very different than kiddushin and gerushin. So Zabachana, there are major differences between these two. Can you make a tanai? Can you make a tanai on shechita? I'm going to shech the animal on, and it's going to be a kosher shechita on condition that it rains tomorrow. It's crazy. No, you do a maisa shechita, it's kosher. You created the mitzius, mameos kosher, you can make a tanai on that. Mashenkin, if you're the bailam on the event, a category one, of course you can make a tanai in it. Can you, number two, could you delay the effects? I'm married to you in 30 days from now. Sure, you could do that in category one. You can't do that category. It's only a kosher shechita in 30 days. It's crazy. No, because that's a maisa that you do, but mamela, the effect kicks in by itself. Can you limit the effects? Many nafkaminas. Can you be chozerbo? Tokadei dibur. Yeah, I shechted. Oh, no, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean I'm going to pass on the shechita. No, you did the shechita. It's finished. Mashiach, by kiddush and gershin, you might be able to chose. Okay, maybe it's an exception. At least in theory, you should be able to be chosebo. And what else? Shlichus and tanai. Shlichus, exactly what Tosfos says. Category one, you're a bailam on those events. If you're a bailam on those events, therefore you can make a shliach, you can make a tanai. Mashiach, when it comes to the other category. One more. Ein adam oser davar she'enu shelo. That's a principle. You can't oser your friend's item. I go over to my friend's item and I bow down to my friend's car. Is his car usher to him now? I accept his car as an avodah zara. Is it usher to him now? Right? The answer is no, because ein adam oser davar she'enu shelo. But what if I go into his house and take milk and pour it into his hot chicken soup? So do I say ein adam oser davar she'enu shelo? It's kosher. It's his soup. I can't usher it. No. You know why? Because pasim b'chalav is not something that you're in control of. You create a mitzias in the mail. It's treif. You don't say ein adam oser davar she'enu shelo there. Of course it's aser. Masha ein came by avodah zara. No, there you are creating an aser. So there you say ein adam oser davar she'enu shelo. So that's another example where it's an area of halacha where you're the bailamon, or where it's you do the action and memela the effects happens by itself. And one final one, and this is the one that Reb Chaim discussed at length. And that's it's in Reb Chaim al Rambam in Yibam and Chalitza. And that is two types of edim. When we require edim for a certain event, what category of edim is that? So, for example, Eishes Isha Zinsa. Do you need, you know, edim there? Let's say, is she usher to her husband only if there were edim there? Of course, no. If a woman knows that she was mezaneh, even if there were no edim there, she's usher to her husband. You would need edim to put her to death. But those are called Eidei Birur. You need Eidim Levarer Es HaDavar to know that something took place. But let's say a husband and a man and a woman go into the private, not in front of Eidim. A man goes to the woman. Harei HaMekudeshes Leivei Devazu. They get married. Wonderful. No witnesses. No witnesses. What's the halacha? They're not married. Let's say you had a video camera. You know what took place. You know it took place. Nobody witnessed it. You know what? They're still not married. Why? Because the Eidim by a marriage are not just what we call Eidei Birur, but it says Reb Chaim, they're Eidei Kiyum. That means they're Mekayim, the Davar. The event halachically did not take place unless the Eidim are there. My Rebbe Reb Rosenzweig always said, they lend a transcendental presence to, in order to have the... I wrote it down. But it's in my Reb Chaim when we did this years ago. They create the formal solemnizing presence that the action of transcendence took place. Right? In other words, Lamaisa, the event didn't take place unless they were there. It's not just Eidei Birur, but it's Eidei Kiyum. They're Mekayim the Dover. There's a Lashon and Kedushin, Samachay. But the Sadi are Mekayimei Milsa. So, says Reb Chaim, when do you need Eidei Birur? Meaning, you don't need Eidim to be there for the event to take place. You only need the Eidim there in order to know that the event took place. And when do you need Eidei Kiyum? That the event will not take place without it. Says Reb Chaim, it's these two categories of events. When you're the Bailim, Kiddushin, Gerushin, by all those types of events, you might need Eidei Kiyum. The event didn't take place unless the Eidim were there. Masha'enkein, in category two, no. If you want to know the event took place, you need to have Eidim there. But the event takes place, Shechita, you don't need Eidim there. Those type of events, you don't need Eidim there. So, says our Gemara, Chalitza is in category two. Kiddushin, Gerushin, other types of those events, that's category one, therefore Shlichus and Tanai apply to it. But Chalitza is not. That's why you cannot make a Tanai on Chalitza. That's why you can't make a Shlich on Chalitza. So that is all based on the Rebbe Chanan and based on Tosfos here. Yeah. Right, that's how Rav Moshe uses it, and other poskim uses it. That's one way, Rahman al-Islam, we know Mamzeris is a tremendous tragedy, but is there any way we generally don't do Hafkas Kiddushin L'mafreya, Bizman HaZeh? We don't uproot marriages. But I remember there was one Rebbe that was once giving a shir, and he said one time he had it easy, because there's one case, Rahman al-Islam, where there's a Mamzeris issue, and he was trying to get rid of the previous marriage. So the question was, can he somehow get rid of the marriage? So he says, you have your wedding video. So he said, yeah. So he watched the wedding video, and he saw that the chuppah was on, like, up on this stage where, like, nobody else could see except the people up there. And the only people up there was this reform rabbi and the two Eidim. And the Eidim were the guy's two brothers. So those are the only two people, you know, who you can be machaved, you know, my brothers, you know, they're going to be my Eidim. So therefore nobody saw the marriage. So he was able to get rid of the, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, that Ramosha, if it's the one you're talking about.
That explains the difference between
Chalitza
and
Gerushin. Maybe that's the pshat of that shita. It's not called the Yitzia. Right? It's something that happens by itself. You are not being motzi. Good. You're not being motzi.
Why are you not
the Baal Chalitza? Chalitza, because the way that the halach is understood is that you have to do the act and the heter happens by itself. It's not like Gerushin, where you are the bailam on the Gerushin. You are doing the Gerushin, you are doing the act, but it's Chalitza is more if you have to do a certain ceremony, like shchita. Because there was a certain ceremony, and therefore, if you do the ceremonies, then the mela, it would work.
And then chalitza, even if Eidim wanted to have a beer, that's it. That happens.
Well, chalitza, no. Well, chalitza is made chalitza, according to this. Chalitza would only require a debirer if you put in that Reb Chaim. Right. That's what he talks about here in that Reb Chaim. That yeah, chalitza in private really maker then should be good. You just don't know what happens. It's not that you need the Eidim there in order for the event to have taken place. Okay. So there's a Pnei Yeshua here also, but again, we will we'll wait with that. Actually, you know what? Let's do the Pnei Yeshua now. We do have time. The Pnei Yeshua has a totally different shot, maybe, of Tosfos at the whole issue of Bailus. So the Pnei Yeshua, not here, but in Gittin, Ayin Hay, has a different shot of the connection between Tznai and Shlichus. He says as follows. Lulei she'eini kedai. I'm not kedai to argue on Tosfos, but I'm going to do it anyway. Says the Pnei Yeshua, I think it's a different shot. If you have an act that you can't do through a shliach, that shows that that act is very, very strong. And the focus of what you're doing is the act itself. So if it's such a strong act, it must be that words, a tnai, cannot uproot the act. If it's such a strong maisa that you have to do it yourself, so you can't make a tnai on it because the maisa is so strong. What, on condition? Forget the on condition. This is such a strong act. But if you have an act that you can do through a shliach, you know what that shows? that the act isn't so important. It's the taking care of what's right, not the focus of the act itself. It's just getting it done. So if that's the case, so that's why you can make it tznai, because the focus must not just be the act. He says, "To kol eichas ha'maisa yochal yasas zaydei shliach ain kan maisa gamur. It's a maisa gamur vada ain yochal yasas zaydei shliach. If it's a maisa gamur, you can't do it through a shliach. Kagon chalitza ubiya b'chol maisa tali begufo vada ain yochal yasas zaydei shliach. You can't do chalitza through a shliach. It's kind of just the opposite. That shows chalitza is so amazingly strong. The act." Marriage! Oh, you can do that through a shliach. That shows that the maisa is not a maisa gamur, and therefore words would be able to uproot it, meaning in the form of a tznai. Okay, that's the Pnei Yeshua there in Kidgitin.
So what he's saying is that if the result is important, so the action is important.
If the result is important, then the action is not as important, and therefore you'd be able to make a tznai on it. The tznai would have the power to uproot the action. Yeah. Okay, let's go by it now. Amar Rav Ula bar Abba, Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Hamakadish b'milveh u'ba'al. Let's see something. Makadish b'milveh. Big sugya b'seches kedushin. A woman. Oh, let's go with Rashi Pshat. Pashas. A woman owes a man money. The man says to her, "You know what? Keep the money that you owe me, and with that money, we're married." Right? Instead of giving her something, he says, "Keep your loan." The halacha is that doesn't work. Makadish b'milveh is einim kedushas because he didn't give her anything. Why? Rashi here quotes big sugya. Not for now. Milva lahotza nitna. Which means if somebody gives me money as a loan, I assume that that money is going to be used for cash flow. It's not that I keep, it's not like I'm guarding an object of his. If he gives me money, the money becomes mine. It's liquid. It becomes part of my assets. And therefore, I didn't give you anything. There's no chefsa that if I'm mochel on the loan that I'm giving you. So that's why a mechadesh b'milveh is eina mekudeshes. But what happens if a man is mechadesh b'milveh, which does not work, ubal, and then he's boel, without saying a word. Or al tanai, or on a condition, ubal, and then he's boel, and the tanai was not fulfilled. Or, b'pachas b'shav ha'pruta, ubal. Or he's b'kadosh a woman with less than a pruta, and again, he's boel. In all these cases, similar to what we discussed, stage one, there's an issue. There's a problem with the kiddushin. It's a tanai that's unfulfilled. It's less than a shav ha'pruta. It's milveh. Divrei hakol tzricha menu get. In all these cases, Rabbi Elazar says, you need a get. Why? Because we assume that at stage two, the man knew that the earlier stage was problematic, and therefore, he had good kavanah for the marriage when he was boel. Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Menachem, Amar Rabbi Ami, HaMekadesh b'pachas b'shevar pruta u'bal tzricha menu get. I'll agree with you with one of them. If you're Mekadesh with less than a pruta and you're boel, then you need a get. Why? Because b'hahu delotai, everybody knows that less than a pruta is not a marriage. And therefore, when he has the bia later on, it must be that he has a good marriage in mind. Avo b'hanav toy, but by the other ones, not everybody knows that mekadesh b'milveh doesn't work. Not everybody knows that the tanai, he thinks that there is no problem. He thinks this tanai is going to be fulfilled. So I think, says Rabbi Ami, that by two out of these three cases, you would not need a get. Only by the case of pachas v'pruta, you would need a get. Right, Rav Kahana said the name of Ula. In the case of Mekadesh al Tanai, you do need a get, because again, it must be that he knew that even without a Tanai, he would want to be married. This was the case, and the Chachamim, you know, made her get a get, meaning they didn't let her go out without a get. We assume, at least L'chumra, that they were married. I'll just finish up. There's one more thing to say. Let's just get up to the Tana Rabbana for a minute. Malafuga mei Tana. And all this, saying that a get is required, is against the following opinion, which we had earlier in the Masechta. D'amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, V'hilon is pasa asura. Pasuk says in Bamidbar, if she was not grabbed, meaning if a woman was mezana willingly, asura, she is asur to her husband. Han is pasa, if she was grabbed, if she was ba'ones muteris, she's mutter to her husband who is a Yisrael. V'yesh lacha acheres, and our drasha is, and there's another woman, sha'ava b'shalon is pasa muteris, that even though she was not grabbed, meaning even if she does something willingly, she'd still be mutter to her husband. What's the case that a woman is mezana and she's still mutter to her husband? V'ezu zu, zu shekidushe kidushe tos. If it's a case where the original marriage dissolves itself because there was a tanai made and then the tanai was unfulfilled, so it comes out that she was never married and she was not an eshes ish zinsha, and therefore she's going to be mutter to her husband. Shafibu b'nam murka vaksefa, even if she has kids. She has kids from that adulterous relationship. Mima'enes v'lechas lo, it's fine. She can just leave. She does not need a get. I mean, that's an example, says the Gemara, where she would not be married. So why, how is that against everything we just said? Because this was a case of Kiddushin al Tznai, and we say the whole marriage is dissolved, and it's as if they weren't married. But what do you mean? We just had opinions that if you do a Kiddushin al Tznai and then you're Boel, we assume that you say, forget the Tznai, I really want to be married to her. So that's how it's against this Tana. There is, talking about, you know, earlier stages and later stages, there is a tshuva of Rav Moshe, which I'm not sure, Doctor, if this is the one you were talking about. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Evan Ezer, Chelek Aleph Simen Ayin Vav, B'dvar Niskadsha Esel Reform Rabbi, right, Tavshin Yud Zayin, 1957, where Rav Moshe was asked, it's a case where two people were married in a reform temple. Right, it was a marriage. Who was at the wedding? You had to have a certain CV in order to get into the marriage. Certain CV. Everybody ate treif. Everybody's mechal Shabbos. It was a Avarian convention. And after a while, the case was the husband left the woman. The husband left the woman without giving her a get. And the woman seems to be coming back to the fold a little bit. She wants to know if she could get married. If she has to worry about being married to this guy. They got married in a reform temple. And we have to know if this was a marriage. So it says, Rav Moshe, Hanachlani is daiti. We had a shiur on this, I think, a couple years ago, Shavuos. She'ena kiddushin jehayu eitzel reform in Rabbi Klum. Nothing. Their marriage is nothing. Sometimes they'll get two Orthodox edim to come and witness what's going on. But if not, then you can assume it was nothing. Right, because Rav Moshe says, you don't even know if they did the Maisa Kiddushin up there. You know, they do all this whole ceremony to try to say that they're married. Even though you have two cousins that had to come to the wedding that are standing in the back, the Loro, Shem Haya Barav Kasher, Mumcha, Shida Kiddushin, he says there's no chazaka that anybody did anything correctly. Shay call Rabbi Meha Reformer, Osa Eza Maisa, Shaboda Milibo, Vyomer Zeo Kiddushin, Vyinkan Afilu, Milas Ichzuk, De Matina Bakusim. You don't have anything. So Rav Moshe says you don't have to worry about the marriage. Forget that. Our issue, says Rav Moshe, but they lived together afterwards. So do we have to assume that in the context of living together, you know, maybe then he had in mind l'shem marriage? Says Rav Moshe, no. Because in all of our cases, what's our daf? In all of our cases, what's our gemara assuming? You know that there was an earlier problem. Pachas b'shem arputa, milve. And therefore you bought l'shem marriage. Here, they never thought there was anything wrong. They thought they were married perfectly. They thought the rabbi was amazing. They thought they're fully married. So they never had in mind to do it l'shem marriage. But here, it's borer that anybody goes to a reform rabbi, sovereign, b'daita matoeh, shem kiddushin. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, in this case, the woman does not need a get. And she's fully free to get remarried. Our cases here on the bottom of Amud Aleph are only because they knew there was a problem with the original. But here they don't know there's a problem with the original. Yeah.
So the only time when Bia would work is that during the action you think that's done.
Mm-hmm. Only if, right, if during the action, at the moment of the act, you know that there was an earlier problem and you have in mind l'shem marriage right now. Okay, right. Tana Rabbanan.
Kavan is good enough? You don't have to actually sit
there. Kavan is good enough, I think. Kavan is good enough. Tana Rabbanan, top line. Holcha itzel chacham bihi tira mukudeshes. Let's say, I mean, a man gets married on condition that his wife has no nadarim. And she had nadarim. But you know what? A week after they're married, she goes to a chacham. And the chacham, we know there's something called hataras nadarim. And the chacham says, if you knew that this would occur, would you have taken the neder? She said, no. She's like, okay, the neder doesn't exist. So the halacha is, so that says the braisa, mukudeshes. The marriage then kicks in, because what comes out? At the moment that they were married, there are no nadarim. It was uprooted retroactively, l'mafreya. Eitzel rofe v'ripa, but what happens if you go to a doctor after the marriage and you get your mumin taken care of? Osa einim kodeshes. That's not good. Why? Pashus, because that doesn't go backwards. You got rid of the mumin today. At the time that they were married, she had mumin. So therefore, that's why it doesn't work. Tosfos in the second to bottom Tosfos assumes there's a little deeper point here. It's not just that at the moment of the marriage she had mumin, but even when the husband thinks back, he's still going to be upset that at the moment of the marriage he's still going to be she's going to be nisbaze alav, and therefore it's not allowed. So ma bein chacham lerofe, what's the difference? Chacham oker et neder meikaro, a chacham when he's oker the neder yaprutzel lamafreya, and therefore at the moment of the marriage there was no nidarim. For rofe, inam rabbi, lam gadol haba. But a doctor is only from today. Doctor is only from gadol haba. It doesn't go retroactively. And therefore, it is not a marriage. We have another brisa that says, is a chacham itura it's a rofe, veripe, osa, inam kudeshes. We have another brisa that says, even by a chacham, they're not married. So isn't that a stira? So the Gemara answers two answers, one for today, one for tomorrow. Answer number one, Amar Rava lo kasha harabi meir harabi elezer. It's really a machlokas tanoim. If the woman goes to the rabbi, the chacham, after marriage and he uproots the nadarim, are they really married? Harabi meir dadam ozerosa shetisbazish of a bezdin. One, Meir says that a man does not mind if his wife is misbazib a bezdin. If she has to go to bezdin and get the nadarim uprooted, he doesn't mind that. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, if she goes through with it and gets the nadarim uprooted, it's a good marriage. Because the Maisa, he's not machbet about it, and she doesn't. Now it turns out that she didn't have marriage at the time, didn't have nadarim at the time of the marriage. Harabalazar da amar in adam rosa disbazish of a bezdin. But Harabalazar says no. A person does not want his wife to have to go through this process. And therefore, the second that she has to go through the process, he already does not have smichas das. He's very already upset at it. So what that she's going to do it and she's going to end up not having nadarim at the time of the marriage? Still, step one is a problem. She can't go there. And therefore, we say that it's not a good marriage. The Rishonim here all discuss, can a woman send a shliach to Bezdin to get her nadarim hutar? So some Rishonim prove from this Gemara, a minority Rishonim prove from this Gemara, that you cannot send a shliach. She cannot send a shliach. Because after all, why, then there's no issue of Bizayim Bezdin. And now the Rosh, what do you mean? So she'll send the shliach. So according to everybody, should be good. So some Rishonim proof from this Gemara that she cannot send the shliach. The Ritva here has another opinion that says no, because most Rishonim, the Rambam and others say that she can't send the shliach. So how do you read the Gemara? Because the issue of Bizu Bebezdin is not dafka that she was there, but that Bezdin hears that she has Nadarim. That's the Bizayin. Bab dafka that she's standing in Bezdin. But even if Bezdin hears about her Nadarim, that also is enough of a Bizayin. Period. So Mahi, where is this Machlokas? That whether a person wants his wife or does not care whether his wife is besides the bezin or not, Titzan is a Mishnah Mesechas Gittin. The following. Hamotzi es ishto mishum neder lo yachzir, mishum shemer lo yachzir. Tanakama says if a man divorces his wife because she has a neder on her or because he heard bad things about her, a shem ra, there is an iser derabanan, he's never allowed to remarry her. Never allowed to remarry her. Why? Two reasons, in the Gemara says. Rashi quotes them. Either number one, because we're worried about, you know, in a month from now, she's going to get her nether uprooted. Or it's going to come out that the shemra wasn't true. And he's going to say, really? I didn't know that. I only divorced you because I thought this was true. But I never had in mind to give you a real divorce. So it's going to mess her up because let's say she'll get remarried. And then he's going to say this whole thing that the divorce wasn't real. So Chazal said, you know what? Before you divorce her, you should know you're never going to be able to get remarried to her. So he's going to be very serious before he divorces her. That's called kilkula. That's reason number one for the sisters of Rabbanan. Reason number two, ikalaman to Amar, because we want to make sure the women aren't parits ba'arayis of nedarim. So we say, you know what? Lady, you better be careful, because if your husband divorces you because of this, you're never going to be able to marry her again. So two reasons for the Tanakhama. But that's not our shita that we have to focus on now. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol neder sheyadav rabam lo yachzir, lo yadav rabam yachzir. Rabbi Yehuda has a different rule. Rabbi Yehuda says, did she make the neder in front of 10 people? If she did, then we give her a knas, and we never allowed her to get remarried. If it was a private neder, then we would allow her to get remarried. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Next two are what's important for us. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir holds, as Rashi explains here, Rabbi Meir holds the reason of Kilkula, as we saw before, that the whole issue we wouldn't allow her to get remarried is because we're worried the husband's going to play games. If I knew, you know, then it's not, then I would never have divorced you. So Rabbi Meir says, Kol neder shetzarach hakiras chacham lo yachzir. Any neder that she would have to go to Bezdin for, meaning it's not a neder between the husband and the wife, he wouldn't be able to maybe make for it, but he'd have to go to the chacham lo yachzir. So those kinds of nedarim, then he cannot marry her again. Why? Because Rabbi Meir holds, it's okay if the woman goes to Bezdin, and therefore he could play games. If she's going to go to Bezdin and say, you know, I never knew. So that's the case. That's the case where we have the Issa Drabanan of remarrying her. But Rabbi Meir holds, if you don't have to go to Bezdin, but it's something that the husband could do himself, then we don't have an Issa Drabanan because we're not going to let him say it. We're going to say, hello, so why don't you be, if you really thought without the nether you'd stay married to her, you should have been made for it yourself. So that's Rabbi Meir's shita. But what do you see from Rabbi Meir's the assumption? That a person does not care if his wife is misvaza bebezdin. Last line, Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo asrut sarech el bebnei she'eno sarech. Rabbi says, no. The only problem is the case of eno sarech hakiras chacham. Why? Because Rabbi Elazar assumes a person does not want his wife to go to Bezdin, and therefore you don't have to worry about, he's never going to be able to taina if I knew that she'd go to Bezdin. No. You never would have wanted her to go to Bezdin. So the only potential problem case is the case of Eino Tzarech Hakiras Chacham, where he's going to say, if I knew, I would have been made for it. I didn't know that a husband could be made for it. So that's the only case. So you see, and that's why you only ask her, Tzarech, because of a case of Ein Otzar HaKiris Chacham. But either way, you see the assumption of Rebbe Lazar is Ein Adam Rotzeh Shedispazo Ishto BeBezdin. Period. Okay, we'll have to stop here, and we'll continue BeBezdin tomorrow. Tomorrow also, a little Agadata tomorrow. A little Agadata coming up. The Eretz Yisrael coming up tomorrow. Okay. Agun. Today's Shia was sponsored by Zechon Ishmas, Brian Dolbasser, and Moshe Zeff.